Good morning. Welcome to our service today. I'm Diane, one of your church wardens, and I'll be leading our service. This morning, we'll have the great pleasure of hearing from Reverend Ted Brush. He's the regional officer for the New South Wales ACT Bush Church Aid, so welcome to you. Look forward to hearing from you and the work that your people are all doing. I'd like to open this morning with a couple of verses from Hebrews, which I hope will encourage us. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And further along it says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. My prayer for us this morning is that we can grow this faith and run this race through the strength given us by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our first song is the new one we learned last week. Please stand and join in singing together this song of praise, The Voice of the Lord.
The voice of the Lord is over the waters with power and strength and glorious thunder.
And the earth will shake, the trees will fall as the voice of God is heard. See the flame burst forth. New life is born, and his people cry, glory. The voice of the Lord is mighty to conquer the power of death.
God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Bible tells us not to hide our sins from God, our Heavenly Father, but to confess them with a repentant and obedient heart, so that we may be forgiven through his boundless goodness and mercy. So let us approach the throne of our gracious God with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, and pray together. Merciful Father, we have strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the schemes and desires of our own hearts and have broken your holy laws. We have left undone what we ought to have done, and we have done what we ought not to have done. Yet, good Lord, have mercy on us. Restore those who are repentant according to the promises declared to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant, merciful Father, for his sake, that from now on we may live godly and obedient lives to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God and loving Father, we rejoice that you pardon and forgive those who truly repent and sincerely believe your holy gospel. Grant us true repentance and your Holy Spirit, that we may live godly, righteous, and holy lives, and finally come to your eternal glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We're about to hear from God's word, but I'll pray for us before we start. Thank you, Father, for making yourself known to us and showing us the way of salvation through faith in your Son. Teach us through your word and equip us for every good work for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
The first of our Bible readings this morning is from Genesis chapter 15. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eleazar of Damascus? And Abram said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him aside and said, Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. He also said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to take possession of it. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, how can I know that I will gain possession of it? So the Lord said to him, Bring me a heifer, a goat and a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon. Abram brought all these to him, cut them in two and arranged the halves opposite each other. The birds, however, he did not cut in half. Then birds of prey came down on the carcasses, but Abram drove them away. As the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to him, Know for certain that for 400 years your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and that they will be enslaved and mistreated there. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterward they will come out with great possessions. You, however, will go to your ancestors in peace and be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. When the sun had set and darkness had fallen, a smoke fire pot with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram and said, "To your descendants I give this land, from the Wadi of Egypt to the great river of the Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, the Kezizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Raphathites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites."
The next reading is taken from John chapter 1, starting at verse 1 through to verse 18. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born of not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, 'This is the one I spoke about when I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I'll now invite Reverend Ted Brush up to share with us the work of BCA. Oh, wow, wonderful.
The Bush Church Aid Society was formed in 1919. Our mission then, as it is now, was to make disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ in regional, rural, and remote parts of Australia. For more than 100 years, we've been going the distance, serving and ministering in numerous places and contexts. From our beginning to this very day, BCA has been a missionary society, so that means we send people. Right now, we have over 30 workers in the field, serving in diverse roles and in many places across this land. Many are ordained ministers leading healthy churches, but some are planting churches. Others are Indigenous ministers. There are parish-based evangelists, and still others work with children, youth, and families. And for many of our field staff, they have young families themselves, trusting God with their children's needs, with the isolation, and with loneliness. For over 100 years and into the future, BCA is still going house to house and farm to farm, still pioneering and leading churches, still working with young people and their families, still serving and equipping Indigenous people, still caring for the least, the last, and the lost, all in the name of Jesus, and bringing the forgiveness, mercy, hope, and grace that He alone offers.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you in this sort of, as our COVID season continues, it's great to be able to meet. And isn't it good to sing? You know, I got to sing for the first time in church in a year when I went to Adelaide. They were singing before us. It was so good. I'm going to put my glasses on and make sure I press the right one on this thing. Okay, here we go. So I'm the Reverend Ted Brush, and I'm the regional officer for the Bush Church Aid Society in New South Wales and the ACT. I look after BCA's work in the Diocese of Newcastle, Sydney, Canberra, Goulburn, the Riverina and Bathurst. And I also look after Norfolk Island in conjunction with the region of South Sydney. Depending on who you ask, of course, Norfolk Island is not even part of Australia, but I won't go there this morning. I'm married to Michelle. We have three adult children, a son and two daughters. Both of our daughters are married, and we have one grandson who I'm not allowed to show photos of, not allowed to put them up on social media or anything like that, but I've got about 120 photos on my phone, and at morning tea, if anybody's really interested, I can do that kind of stuff. Let me introduce you very briefly to James and Brittany Damond. It's just over 4 years since James and Brittany left the leafy suburb of Mossman. James originally trained as a lawyer and Brittany as a music teacher. And they moved from one of the more comfortable places to live to the then severely drought-affected town of Narromine in the central west, about 40 kilometres northwest of Dubbo. And in doing that, they, like so many of our field staff, have left behind the relative comfort of homes in big cities, certainly the company of family and friends. And they have moved, and often moved with very young families, to sometimes very isolated and challenging places. And it kind of begs the question, why do they do it? This is Roger and Amanda Kingdon. Number four there was born in Perth, but Roger and Amanda have been in Newman in the Pilbara for a number of years now. And I don't know if any of you have ever been to Newman, but at this time of year, there's a pretty good chance the thermometer will crack 40 degrees by 10 o'clock in the morning, even now in autumn. And you have to ask, why did they move with their three young children and now four? Why are they living in a place like Newman? Why did Topher and Chica Halliburton move to Alice Springs with their three young children? Why are Glenn and Beth McDonald and their five children serving in Roxby Downs? Why do they, and for that matter so many other, you saw that in the video how many families we have in so many remote places. Why do they do that? Now, I suppose the easy answer is to say, well, they go there to share Jesus. Yeah, that's easy, but why do we do that? Why do we need to share Jesus? And I want to reflect on four reasons that our field staff go where they go, but four reasons that I think are a challenge for us. Why do we need to think about sharing Jesus with those who don't know him? My reasons are, first of all, I think that the entire purpose of this world demands that we share the gospel of Jesus. If you've got a Bible with you, you might want to open it up to John 1 and we'll have a look there. I won't stay in John's prologue, but that's where we're going to launch from. John's gospel is unique, and it's unique in a lot of ways, but to me, one of the things that really makes it unique is John takes the events of the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus, and he places them in this kind of all of history, this cosmic framework, if you like, that begins all the way back with creation. You might notice that John's gospel begins with the creation story. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Now, it's not a coincidence that John began his gospel in this way. It's not a coincidence that his language is so similar to the way that Genesis 1 begins, the way our Bibles begin. And I think John had a reason in doing that. I think John wanted his readers then and now to understand that when we pick up a Bible and we open it and we begin to read at Genesis 1:1, I think what he wanted us to understand that we are reading the story of God's activity in his world in which the Lord Jesus is central. It is the Lord Jesus who sits right in the center of the Bible. Moreover, in beginning his gospel in this way, John did a couple of other things. We saw that he tied God's creative activity to the person of the Son, but I think he also ties God's creation purposes to the person of the Son. Now, we could take a hop, skip, and a jump through the first couple of chapters of our Bibles, or we could dig into Genesis 15 that Trevor read for us, and we could take a look at what those creation purposes were and are, but you can sum them up really easily. God's purpose in creating all that there is ultimately to create a people for himself who will live in his place and who will live under his rule. That's the story of the Bible from cover to cover. If anybody ever says to you, what is the Bible about? That's a good answer. It's about God creating a people for himself who will live in his place under his rule. But you can actually distill that down a little bit more, and you could simply say that God's purpose in creation is preeminently to create a people for himself. And so as John's gospel begins, what we discover, what we find revealed to us, is that God's creation purpose, that creation of a people for himself, is a story that might have begun in Genesis 1 and 2, but actually continues. And you can see the link in John 1 verse 12. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children of God, people of God. Now, we could go the long way or the short way to get here, but actually they're the same thing. So in other words, today, as in right now, the story of God creating a people for himself not only continues, but it is now the story of the gospel of Jesus. You see, isn't it by the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus that a person becomes a child of God? We hear and we respond in faith and repentance. So, first of all, I think the gospel needs to go everywhere, including in our own backyards, really, because the very purpose of the world demands it. Second thing, I think the good news of Jesus, the gospel of Jesus, needs to be shared, because in doing that, we are sharing the love of God in action, the story of the love of God in action. God is a God whose love demands that we share his good news. John 3:16, one of the most memorized, most famous verses in all of Scripture. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now, we normally read this verse as an explanation of the magnitude of the love of God. God's love is just so great that in the person of the Son, he died for us. But you know what? This verse can be equally well understood. It could be equally translated by taking that word so as a word of explanation that explains the manner by which, or the way in which, God loved this world. We could actually translate John 3:16 in this way. It could read, for God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. How did God love his world? Well, the way, the manner in which God loved his world was that by Jesus' death, God satisfied his own justice. In the person of the Son, God took the penalty that our rebellion against him deserved. He took it upon himself. You could put this another way by saying that at the cross, what we see is that the perfect love of God and the perfect justice of God so intersect that the perfect love of God satisfied the perfect justice of God. And so a relationship broken by human rebellion is actually restored by the death of the Son. People once condemned are saved. People headed for death are restored to eternal life. That is the love of God. And the best thing that anybody can ever hear is the gospel of Jesus, because in it we hear of God's perfect love in action. And as we share it, we actually demonstrate that love. The love of God on the lips of those who share the gospel. Third, I think sharing the good news of Jesus is essential because of the seriousness of life. In Genesis 1:31, so there's 30 verses of the creation story, and then there's this kind of wrap-up line that says that God saw everything that he'd made and it was very good, which is what we'd expect, isn't it? But did you notice that after the first three verses of John's Gospel, and you might want to take a look at John 1, 4 and 5, it looks a little different. In him, we read, we're speaking about Jesus, was life. And that life was the light of the world. The light, said John, shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. This world, John's day and today, I mean, like last Sunday it was Anzac Day. We don't need too many reminders of the darkness of this world, but they are there for us if we look, aren't they? Our world remains a dark world. And it kind of gets worse because, you see, when John tied light and life together, he fully intends for us to understand that darkness in his gospel is a metaphor for death. And it becomes even more confronting because as John goes on in his gospel, he unpacks that prologue. That prologue has all of the themes of John's gospel in it. And he begins to unpack them. And by the time we get just a few verses past that famous verse that we quoted a moment ago, we discover there that darkness is what we human beings in our natural state prefer. A little further on in John's Gospel, so John 3, verse 19, John wrote, "Light has come into the world, but men and women loved darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil." You see, brothers and sisters, it's challenging, isn't it? But in our natural state, we human beings prefer a world of darkness and death to the light and life that we find in Christ. Got to ask, why is it, despite, you know, literally thousands of years of human progress, human learning and technological progress and all that kind of stuff, nevertheless, the solutions to the problems of our world remain beyond us? And I actually think John in verse 5 put his finger on the problem when he wrote, "The light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it." It's a tiny point, but we often miss it. You see, darkness in John's gospel is not passive. It's not like when you switch the lights out before you go to sleep and you have darkness. It's not like that. Here, darkness opposes the light. It battles the light. And that opposition to the light, that is the most fundamental problem of our world. And we can go back to Genesis 3 and read the story of what happened back then. But the Apostle Paul gives a very succinct summary of the outcome of the Genesis 3 story, that story of rebellion against our Creator. You see, in Romans 3:23, Paul sums up the state of our race in this way. He says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And a few chapters later in the same letter, Paul explains the terrible significance of that, the awful significance of that. He says the wages, that is to say what we've deserved or what we merit, our reward, if you like, the wages of sin is death. Why is there no solution to the human problem? It's easy. It's because we're part of the problem. There's never going to be a human solution to the human problem, because at the very heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. It becomes easy to see, I think, that the seriousness of life demands that we proclaim Jesus. Why do we proclaim Jesus in this seriousness of life? Because in 1 Thessalonians 1:10, the Apostle Paul wrote, it is Jesus who rescues us from the coming wrath. Nothing else, no one else. It's Jesus. This is how serious life is. Fourth, I think the nature of the gospel itself, the nature of the Christian gospel, demands that we share it. In John 1 verse 12, he wrote, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And then in verse 13, he talks some more about how we become children. Children, and this is very interesting, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The gospel is exactly what the people of this world, it's exactly what we need to hear. I don't know if you noticed, but in the Genesis 15 story, in that ancient covenant-keeping ceremony, it was only God who kept the covenant. Did you notice that? It was only God who passed between the parts of the animal. The story, the way that ceremony worked was, you tore the animals apart, and your commitment to the covenant was, may what happened to those animals happen to me if I break it. But only God passed through between the animals. He established a covenant with himself. And what we see here is exactly that thing. In our helplessness, we can't save ourselves. There's nothing in us. There's nothing we can do that makes us attractive to God. And so the very nature of the gospel makes it so essential, doesn't it? Because in it, we discover the amazing news that it is God who takes the initiative. It is God who acted in the person of the Son to save. And to save us completely, even at that point where we could do nothing for ourselves. Why share the gospel of Jesus? Well, because the purpose of the world, the love of God, the seriousness of life, and the nature of the gospel itself all demand it. There's so much I could say at this point, but I just want to invite you now, and I want to answer a question, if you like, that might be in some of your minds. Well, we want to see the gospel go out. We understand that demand, but how do you partner BCA in doing that? And I want to suggest four quick things you can do. The first is, please get to know us. Now, if you want to pull out it, I'm going to have that QR code up on the screen from here on in. So if you want to scan it, you can do that. But you know what, if you want to go for the analog version, there's some of those, there's white envelopes on a table up the back, and the batteries in those never go flat, just to let you know. But please, if you want to partner with us, the first thing to do is please get to know us. Secondly, please pray for us. Our prayer notes are a great place to start, and there's a set of current prayer notes in those envelopes up there. You can go online. You can even get an app that will download you daily prayer notes for BCA if you want to go that far. I think sometimes as Christians we feel like when we're praying we're just in the cheer squad, but the reality is that you're on the team. When Paul wrote to the Romans, in Romans 15, getting toward the end of the letter, he says, brothers and sisters, I urge you to join me in my struggle. And he didn't mean go saddle up your camel and come to me. He explained how to join him. He said, join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. I'm not above plagiarising Paul for the sake of the gospel of Jesus in rural and remote Australia. Please join us in our struggle by praying for us. Third thing, get to know us. Please pray for us. And if you're up for it, please consider giving. I'm sure most of you have heard of our Money Box program, but we also have a program we call Distance Giving. It's a way of giving electronically, and in an age where cash appears to have gone somewhat missing. I have to tell you, my wife and I came back from Europe in October of 2019. I had two Australian $5 notes in my wallet. I still have one of them. That says something, doesn't it? But if you're up for it, please consider giving. And last of all, you might want to think about going. Now, how do you go? It's a good question, isn't it? You could find out about our Nomads program. You could visit one of our field staff on holidays. But I'm mentioning the going as much as anything because for those of you who know people who are in a season of life and maybe have a skill set that would suit, I want to say there are always opportunities to move to the bush to work and, in fact, to be involved in gospel ministry. So if you work in any of the medical professions, for example, if you're a doctor or a nurse or a dentist or a speech pathologist or an occupational therapist or a physiotherapist, a whole range of people have no trouble at all. If you're a paramedic, you'll have no trouble at all finding work in the bush. You don't have to be an ordained Anglican minister to serve Jesus in the bush. And you could say that to people. You do have to know Jesus, by the way. You do have to be willing to talk about him. You don't get too far otherwise. The other thing you could do, and I don't know what the right expression is, I'm kind of gazumping something, because Trevor mentioned you guys don't have any BCA Link workers right now. But we do have workers. So there's the Anglican Dean of Noongalinya College is Ruth Walton, the Reverend Ruth Walton, and she is looking for church links. Philip and Jessica Van Spiker, who just moved to Yeppoon, are also looking for links. So there's a couple of people I can give Trevor some information about at another point. If you want to know more about us, please be in touch. But if you really want to partner us, get to know us, pray for us. If you're up for it, consider giving. And last of all, you might like to think about going in however that is for you. Thanks very much for having me, and thank you for your attention now.
We might sit on those ideas and ponder on them and revisit those just before the end of the service. Our next song is Across the Lands. It's one of the favourites, I think. It's just got some lovely lyrics to it. So please stand and join us. Together, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please take a seat. I'll just invite Tina up now. She's going to lead us in prayer.
The Lord be with you. With you. Please let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Give us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. As we come before you, Heavenly Father, we know that you are sovereign and Lord of all. And we bring our world to you, broken and in chaos, and also in pain. Both the creation itself and its people. Sovereign Lord, you know the suffering in this world. And we bring before you the situation of the coronavirus spreading around the world. We ask you, O God, for the provision of the vaccine to all, not just the wealthy, not just the affluent, but to all. Across the world. For each person deserves a chance. Father God, let your people amongst this situation not panic, be reliant upon you and your strength and comfort, not to be anxious, but to also love the people around them, that they may see that you make a difference in their lives amidst this situation. Comfort the sick, O God. Comfort those who are mourn, the bereaved, or those who are fearful of this disease. O Lord, help those who seek to help others by giving them medical treatment. May you protect them and give them strength in this situation, most chaotic, and perhaps even feeling very helpless and overwhelmed. We especially think for the country of India, who seems to be just so out of control. We think of places in Europe, America, Brazil, Thailand, and Myanmar. O Lord, please, we ask for your mercy and strength and for our request. May the authorities please, O God, have wisdom and fairness and justice to be able to govern during this time. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We bring before you the violence in this world. Oh God, it is so heartbreaking. We think of so many countries who are at unrest, disadvantaged. We think of extremists who take advantage of this whole situation by murdering and attacking others. We ask for the people in this situation, Lord. We ask for justice. We ask for mercy. We ask for freedom. And we ask for relief. And we particularly think of people in Myanmar and Hong Kong who are being overrun by authorities and opposition and armies. Oh Lord, they need your help. Help them to turn to you. Stop the oppressors. May these oppressors turn to you, O God, and see that what they're doing is wrong. That they may see that you are the sovereign, not them. We bring them before you because we know you hear us. And we thank you so much for that. And we put our trust in you. We also bring our brothers and sisters, those of faith, your children, the persecuted in so many lands. Oh Lord, help them to be faithful, strong, and uplifted by your Holy Spirit, that they will find comfort. Their persecutors will come to faith in Jesus as their Saviour and Lord. And we particularly bring before three countries, Lord, who are at forefront this week. We think of Nigeria, Sri Lanka, and of course Myanmar in the east. Oh Lord, we ask for mercy and trust in you amidst this. And we trust in you, O God, in the power of Jesus' name. Amen. Oh Heavenly Father, we here in Australia have so much to be thankful for. We have so much, and yet we're so reliant on you, unbeknownst. And as we have so much, Lord, help us to be thankful each day of our lives. Help the people here in our country, O God, to be thankful for what they have, not to seek more, but to see what is good, and especially seeking Jesus. But our hearts here are heavy when we see the lack of spiritual and understanding. We ask, O God, that your Spirit sweep across this land. Enlighten people by the power of your gospel. And Lord, we thank you so much for the work of BCA, for the isolation that's out there, Lord. It must be absolutely like a drought. We ask that you strengthen your people who are ministering to others in this land, in the remoteness. Refresh them in times of discouragement, that through the ministry of BCA, the message of your redeeming love may be proclaimed and accepted by the people of our land. And we also think and recognise the injustices done to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples, and that, Lord, they too will understand and know you as God and Jesus as Saviour, and ask that in this land we may walk as one, reconciled through Jesus Christ. And we ask this in his name. Amen. Thank you, O God, for Anglicare and the work it does here amongst people in this land. Thank you, Lord, for the many aspects, but particularly today, we thank you and ask for help for those who are involved in police chaplaincy. Please help them to listen well as they walk beside each member of the force that they walk with. Help them to share the love of the gospel each day, that you would give those they minister to listening ears and hearts, so that they too will know the comfort and joy of Jesus. May you maintain the well-being of these chaplains and relieve their stress and struggles and strains of each day as they put themselves out there amidst different situations, different heartaches and different anxieties. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. We thank you, O God, here at St Andrews, for the many things that you've given us, for the way in which you've cared for us here. And we ask that you would care in particular for those who are struggling. Those struggling here and finding it difficult each day with different things in their lives, recovering from illnesses, struggling with sickness and illnesses. Those who are lonely and sad despite having people around them. We ask you, Lord, that you would give them strength and health and comfort. And we ask particularly for Max Schweizer, Jean Steele, Kay, Lynn and Graham Clark. And we also ask for comfort and joy at the same time for Jacinth, who's just lost her mother. May you comfort them, O God, in their loss, and that, Lord, they would be content to know, and I'm sure they are, Lord, that they know they will see their mum again. Thank you, O God, for your word preached here so faithfully. Thank you for your word. May we continue to grow. May we continue to keep the faith, walk in the Spirit, not losing sight of the hope we have. And we ask this and commit this to you in the name of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen. Be exalted, Lord, above the heavens. Let glory cover the earth. Keep our nation under your care and guide us in justice and truth. Let your way be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Send out your light and truth that we may tell of your saving works. Hear our prayers, O Lord, for we put our trust in you. I'm just going to finish with the set prayer for the day. Let us pray that we may enjoy the true freedom. God our Father, look upon us with love. You redeem us and make us your children in Christ. Give us true freedom and bring us to the inheritance you promised. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. Amen.
I wonder how many people have actually looked through their news and notes on a regular basis. There are about 10 different notices in there this week. We've got a few that are going to be shared, but we're not going to read them all out. So I do ask and encourage you to check through, have a quick glance, and then have an in-depth read of the others that are there. There are a few that are regular events, but I'll just invite Karen up. She's going to share with us some of the not-so-regular ones.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the marvellous month of May. Yes, lots of food and fun to come. And while the mornings are chilly and the days are mild, it's a great time for us to be able to get together. And we've been able to resume our Sunday services almost normally, and it's been great to have the children back in the foyer for Kids' Church, and I hope you've been enjoying our noise and mess. But I'd like to tell you about a few things that are coming up, and the most important one I'm going to tell you first, and it's not on the screen yet, because I'd like to tell you about our prayer meeting tomorrow evening. We'll be gathering here at church at 7 o'clock, and while we're making lots of plans, we know we need to come before God dependent and expectant. And I'd love for you to join me tomorrow night at 7 o'clock here at the church to do that. Now, you may not feel comfortable praying out loud, but I would love you to come along anyway. Just to have your presence in the room is a great encouragement for those who feel comfortable doing that. So please, don't let the cold weather stop you. I'd love to see you tomorrow evening to pray. Then, let me tell you, on the first Wednesday of each month, I'm going to be at the Sydney Rowing Club from 11:30 till 1 o'clock. And if any of the ladies are free and would like to come and have a coffee or an early lunch with me, you are most welcome. It's just a time to catch up and be together, if you'd like to. And just turn up, no need to let me know. And if you don't turn up, that's fine. But it's just an option there for us to get together if you'd like to. Then on Sunday, the 16th of May, after church, we're having a church picnic. So that's everybody in the church. You don't have to be a family to come. It's our church family corporate who are invited. So bring your own picnic, and we're going to just enjoy the space that we have in the yard here. The kids can play and we can just connect with each other in a more relaxed way and for a bit longer than feeling like we need to hurry off after church. So please feel free to stay and join us for that time together. And then on Saturday the 22nd, if you haven't had enough of each other or you haven't had an opportunity to connect at all, because we're all available at different times, and so you can come to everything, but you may not be able to. And so this gives us lots of points of which you can contact and connect in with each other. And so this is why it might feel like there's a lot of things happening all at once, but we know that not everybody can go to everything. And we just want to give everyone an opportunity to connect. And so we're having a ladies' morning tea on Saturday the 22nd of May, and I'd love for you to come along, and we're going to encourage each other in our faith together. So please sign up at the back, ladies, or let me know. And Rosemary's going to make some super scones. That's an outing not to miss. And that's all I have to say for now. So I look forward to seeing you at any of those things, or all of them.
Well, blokes, if you felt left out then, you're not left out now, all right? We've got a men's breakfast coming up on the 29th of May. Bring a friend if you wish to, but just come along if you don't have a friend that wants to come along with you. That's on the 29th of May from 8:15 through to 10 a.m. It should be a really healthy breakfast with bacon and eggs and all sort of the yummy things like that. All right, so enjoy that time. Come along.
And moving along with our focus for prayer, next Sunday we'll be considering the pastoral care within the Anglican Police Chaplaincy. So we'll be meeting Reverend Suzanne Gorham next week. So look forward to hearing what the police chaplains are doing, because I imagine there'd be a lot of need amongst the police officers with the hard job they have. Okay, so the rest, check your bulletins, please. In considering the words that we had shared this morning, I've considered that I've often been challenged at the idea of evangelising, and I'm kind of reminded that God provides and equips us, And so we have to consider how God is calling us to respond to the work of BCA and the part we can play. Can we get to know the people who work for BCA? Can we pray for the people out there working in BCA? Can we give something? Can we find something extra to share our good fortune with these people to encourage and support them? And can we even go? Is there someone looking for a tree change away from the sea? Let's see what God puts on your heart, and but I certainly wish all the best and will continue to pray for BCA. And we do have a family that we know of that's working at Kununurra. They used to be here as an assistant minister, a junior minister. So the Pharisees, seeing that little boy of theirs who's not the little baby, he's a little boy. Times pass. New edition of the Southern Cross is out on the desk inside the front door. If you haven't picked one up yet, please pick one up on your way out. Something to keep in your prayers this week is the synod is tomorrow, and they're looking at making a decision about who is going to be the next archbishop. So please keep those members of synod, thank you Linda, thank you Trevor, in your prayers as they go through that decision-making process. Rather an important thing is to have somebody lead us in the Sydney Diocese. So we look forward to hearing the results of that as it's become known. When we finish our service today, we do invite you to share morning tea with us. And just a reminder, we are still keeping our distance from each other, not because nobody's had a shower in the last week, but because morning tea is still 1.5 metres away from each other. So if you wouldn't mind grabbing your tea or your coffee and your biscuits, heading out into that lovely sunny yard and finding a bit of shade if you need that, and spending a little bit more time in fellowship together. So thank you so much. Okay, well, just pray for us as we're leaving today. Oh, actually, we might sing another song first. Yeah, that might be a good idea. Yes. And this last one is a combination of a new version of a hymn and an old version of a hymn. So some of the lyrics you'll recognise more than the others, but it's quite a lovely one. Thanks.
Please stand.
Soar in ages past, light in the distant dawn, the King is bound in agony, will rise to life again, and in his name a saving word, release from every stain, and in the darkness we have heard, this is God's only plan. This is God's only plan. And for a thousand tongues to see my great Redeemer's praises. And for a thousand tongues to see. Set us free, and in his name a saving word, release from every stain, and in the darkness we have heard, this is God's only plan. This is God's only plan. thousand tongues to sing. My great Redeemer's praises, and oh, for a thousand tongues to sing. My great Redeemer's praises. The Spirit gives us words to speak. Jesus Christ is Lord, and as he breaks the hardest heart, he's worshipped and adored, and in his name a saving word. Release from every stain, and in the darkness we have heard, this is God's only plan. This is God's only plan. And oh, for a thousand tongues to sing, my great Redeemer's praises, and oh, for a thousand tongues to sing, my great Redeemer's praises, and oh, for a thousand tongues to sing, my great Redeemer's praises, and oh, for a thousand tongues to sing, my great Redeemer's praises.
Eternal God and Father, by whose power we are created and by whose love we are redeemed, guide and strengthen us by your Spirit, that we may give ourselves to your service and live this week in love to one another and to you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ, Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.